Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a while back, Geraldine Carton got onto Liveline and put out a call for women all over Ireland to send her pictures of their boobs because she wanted to paint them. Well, they did in their hundreds, and Geraldine did paint them, and there was an exhibition. And now there is a short documentary, and it is called Boobs, and Geraldine is here. Good afternoon, Geraldine.
Good afternoon.
Artist Geraldine. And Nolene and Lima feature in the documentary, and thank you for coming along. Hello, Nolene.
Hello, Ray.
How are you, Lima?
Hello, how are you?
Great to see you all. Thanks so much for coming in. So, Geraldine, go on. Why? The why of all this?
The why? Well, I guess it all started with me doing an art course. And in the course, I was learning a lot about the history of art and particularly the way in which women had been portrayed throughout history in art. And I was noticing there's a lot of one particular type of woman being shown or portrayed in a very particular way, which was very one-dimensional, very white, very slim, very lacking much agency. And it made me think of actually today and how in modern media, the same kind of image and message prevails. And, you know, knowing the impact that this can have on women, myself included, and how negative these kind of messages can be on ourself and our sense of value and well-being. It made me feel compelled to make a project dedicated to raging against that machine, so to speak, and rebelling against that kind of image making and portraying women in a real way that actually reflected the way we saw ourselves. And the reason I chose boobs is because I felt that it was a perfect symbol for the discrepancy between how women's bodies are portrayed, i.e. boobs being a sex symbol, very sexualized, compared to how we experience our boobs, which is more often than not completely unsexual. It can be actually a really complicated relationship that we have with our boobs, you know, from childhood to teenagehood, the attention you suddenly get from growing boobs, the conversations that come about, having two big boobs or two small boobs, or what bra, are you wearing a bra or not? And then the older you get into adulthood, you know, even with your periods, they can be quite painful. But, you know, having children, and I haven't myself, but I've seen my friends and family and through this project learn so much more. But the way in which your boobs change through pregnancy, you know, breastfeeding, huge changes and a huge sacrifice as well. And then ultimately, they can kill you. And for all of that to be reduced down to sexy fun bags, it really felt like such a disrespect to women.
And historically, most artists were men.
Yeah. And the way they portrayed boobs was like, it's as if they had never seen real boobs. And maybe they hadn't, you know, they were like two tennis balls. You know, you'd never see uneven boobs or hairy nipples or stretch marks. So that's why I did think that it was a good symbol for showing for the show. And it worked out pretty well in the end. Yeah.
So you got on Liveline and you spoke to Joe, and you put a call out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was important to me to get a great span and diversity of women, like a real representation of women in Ireland today, including all ages, sizes, skin tones, trans women, pregnant women, breastfeeding women, women who had mastectomies, lumpectomies. You know, I really tried so hard to get that range. And I think the show in the end reflected that huge range. And it was amazing seeing the women come in and see themselves reflected back at them.
And Lima, it's a friend of a friend or somebody that told you about it, was it?
Yeah, so Nicola, who produced the documentary, she's a friend of a friend. So she came to me and said, would you fancy getting involved in this? And I was like, maybe. But actually, it was a very simple yes, because I knew Nicola herself and I knew how she approaches topics, and I knew that she'd be a safe space and anybody that would come in on it would be also a safe space. Yeah. So, yeah, I said yes pretty quickly.
Right. And Nolene?
Yes. Like that, a friend recommended. She was friendly with Geraldine, and her daughter were friendly. And I had seen the call on Instagram, actually. And that prompted me then to get in touch with Geraldine.
Right.
And at the time, it was post-COVID, and I just sort of felt that I wanted to get involved in a project like that. Especially, I was doing, like Geraldine, doing a little bit of art thing on women and women's issues. So I felt that this was a very worthwhile project to get involved in. Yeah. And I'm really glad I did.
Yeah. So you've had a double mastectomy.
Yes.
Right. So when were you diagnosed with breast cancer?
Well, it's 20 years ago now, Ray. When I was 43, I found a lump in my breast, and had the whole lumpectomy, radiotherapy, you know, that part of my life. And then afterwards, then, because there was a connection with ovarian cancer, my aunt had died with ovarian cancer. So we did the genetic testing at that stage. And then I had the BRCA gene. And then after that, it was like, you should have prophylactic hysterectomy, oophorectomy, and bilateral mastectomies, which I put off for a long while because, like Geraldine says, your breasts are very important to you. And especially, you know, after being a mother and you're breastfeeding and, you know, there's that, you don't want to let go, I suppose, really. But then you sort of think, well, if this is a chance of saving your life, that, you know, it's something that you should do.
Mm.
And that's why I opted to have the bilateral mastectomy at that stage.
Yeah, it's a big decision to make, isn't it?
It is a big decision, yes. And I'm very fortunate in that I have very supportive family and friends. And I know that it's not that easy for other people. And in a way, I'm very lucky in that I didn't have sort of chemotherapy to go through as well. So...
It was elective.
Recommended. It was a recommendation that you should look at doing it. Now, you know, I'm not sure if I would do it again, but at the time, you feel that if it's something that's going to prolong your life,
you're here to tell the story.
I'm still here to tell the story. Yes, yes.
And you had reconstruction.
Yes,
and that didn't work out.
To a point, yes.
Right.
But I mean, they're never quite the same as the breast tissue that you've had before. And obviously your nipples are gone and there's that sensitivity is not there anymore. So I don't think, personally, I don't know, it's 20 years ago now, obviously, and hopefully things have changed in that that's more in the discussion pre-surgery. For women undergoing that procedure.
What would you have done differently, I suppose, is the question then.
I suppose, I don't know, Ray, but I think having that information, you know, having that thought process before the procedure would be beneficial.
It's interesting to listen to Geraldine and describing, you know, the place that a woman's breasts play in her life and all the functions and the various things. And did you think like that? I'm just trying to get inside the head of a woman. I obviously don't have breasts, so I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, of course you think like that. I mean, it's sort of an innate thing for girls growing up that you're identified nearly by your body shape and your breasts, and people look at you in that way. And you yourself then, as you say, when you're young, it's part of your physical attraction, if you like. That's what people define it as. And then when you're married and you have a partner, it's part of your intimate life together. And yes, and then when I was a mother, breastfeeding was very important. And yes, I did. You do have that mindset about your breast.
Yeah.
And it changes over time. I think as you become a mother, then there's less emphasis on that whole
The sexual side of it.
It's still very important to, I was only 43 when I had diagnosed with breast cancer. So that's relatively young, I think. And I know there's people younger.
Tell me if I'm prying now, but you had to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously your husband was involved in those chats. And how did those chats go?
I think any partner that loves you like that, they want to do something that'll prolong your life and that you're going to be still around for the, you know, for the family. And so, yeah, we had the talks, all right. And Tom was very understanding about the whole thing and very empathetic about me. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's my decision to make. And I decided, I wanted to do this so that it gave me a better chance at living longer. And
Part of the whole thing was that you gathered people into your house in various groups and you went topless and had the chats.
Topless and I had the chats just to warm everyone up. And myself included. Because, it's such a vulnerable thing and it's such a strange thing to do over Saturday afternoon, you know. But the women were so forthcoming and so brave. And that's something I've really come away realising. I just love brave women and that's all that this show attracted. So I had three installments of about between 7 and 11 women. all strangers. Like, no one knew each other. I didn't necessarily know them. And so we'd sit around, just have the chats. And then it was like, okay, let's just take off our bras and I'm going to be doing a few sketches. And, you know, again, just to warm everyone up, just make some people feel comfortable. But the conversations that we were having throughout that time was amazing, you know. Absolutely. Especially, it is a very strange situation, as I said. But, like, it's almost as if, like, when the clothes come off, so, like, the barriers come down and the just the openness and the stories and, you know, that we're coming back and forth were really, I mean, in some ways they were depressing because there was just so much commonality of hardship experience between us all. But equally, it was an amazing connecting experience and feeling that sense of understanding.
And Lima, you said that you felt unbelievably comfortable. It was one of the most comfortable times in your life. Is that fair enough?
I think once we got into it, it was. I think I was driving over in the car to Geraldine's house and I was like, I might just turn around. I just don't know if I could do this there. But then once we got into the room and we all had, I think, a little chat together before clothes came off. And then it just felt comfortable. And then when the clothes came off, within 5 minutes, we might as well have been in a pub just shooting the breeze, like having the crack. It was, and I should mention as well,
just that Nicola Leddy, who's the director for the documentary, she organised to have an all-female crew as well. And that's something that's really special and unique in the film industry. So I think having that element as well was really...
Everyone was comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes complete sense.
It was a very warm, supportive atmosphere generated.
And physically warm. I had to get that heat up.
Physically warm also.
So you had to tell your story then, Lima.
So I guess my story is when I was 2, I was in a car fire. Car just exploded. My brother and I had 90% third degree burns, so very extensive. In a way, I'm glad it happened so young because it's just been my life. I have a really strong mother and father who have been amazing. Their mantra is, it'll be grand, get out, do it, you'll be fine.
Now, what happened?
So it was just a manufacturing error.
Right.
Yeah.
And you, it was only you and your brother in the car?
My brother and I were in the car, so my parents had gotten out to take shopping in. I think we, being divils, closed the doors as, you know, as they were going back up. So, it just... unfortunate.
My word.
Very unfortunate.
How long were you in hospital for?
6 months in it, like straight after the accident. So intensive surgeries, a couple of almost death experiences for both of us. And then up until probably 14, 15, we had 2-3 surgeries a year.
These are skin transplants?
Yeah, so skin grafts. Exactly. Yes, and different plastic surgeries and... Yeah, we became very familiar with toast in a hospital and scrambled egg. My mum would always cook scrambled egg for us. So, yeah, look.
It must have been tough on you and your brother.
Yeah.
Very tough on your parents.
Yeah, like both my brother and I have kids now, 2 kids each. And it's really only in the last, for me, 3.5 years that I've realised, and especially when my daughter was coming up to 2, which was the age that I had the accident at, I was just thinking, how in the name of God can you deal with this? How can you process it? So, I mean, it is amazing that they have, and they did, and we are the people we are because of that. And yeah, like, I mean, 2 very strong people, I suppose. So my brother and I. So it is.
And what did they constantly say to you? What was their mantra?
Be grand. I actually have a tattoo of it.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
But it is like, and I mean, what's the alternative? You know,
yeah.
It's the same as anything. Probably, Nolene, for yourself and Geraldine, getting through your issues. What is the alternative? You just don't deal with them, and then, you know, what?
Yeah,
then?
But it is that sort of thing. That idea of beauty.
Yes. Yeah.
That we've
yeah.
been, you know, forever.
Yeah.
In art, in magazines, in movies. It's there, isn't it? Constantly.
Yeah.
And if you don't measure up to that, then you start questioning.
Yeah. And we're our own worst enemies, I suppose, as well, which is why it was so comforting to get into a room where everybody was on even keel. Everyone was seeing you for, you know, the person that you are in front of them. not literally, but, you know, like standing there chatting, sitting there chatting, sweating. But it, yeah, I am. I think that's what made it so beautiful.
So as a parent then, how do you see the world? Because I think when you become a parent, you suddenly see the world through a baby's eyes, a child's eyes, don't you? It changes your perspective.
Yeah, it does. And
so you had a unique perspective already.
Yeah.
After the accident.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kids are so resilient. I mean, you know, they are. You see it all the time. Kids in accidents, they power through because, as you say, like it's they don't know what else to do. You're their biggest cheerleader. So you have to just tell them to get on with it and support them and love them. But I guess from a parent's point of view with my own daughter, I want her to know, and she is beautiful, like I'm biased, obviously, but I want her to know that it's not just about that, you know, that she's so much more, she can be so much more and she will be so much more. And that the, you know, what society sees as beauty doesn't have to be the measure of her or of her friends. You know, we don't just become friends with people because they're beautiful. And if you are, you're probably in the wrong friend group. But you know what I mean? Like it's just, and I think getting together like this as women and championing each other and like being each other's back, having each other's back is how we change that narrative and it has to be changed, I think, and it's starting to be changed, but there's a lot more to do and Geraldine and Nicola are kind of pushing forward.
Yeah.
So what is the aim? You know, this phrase that people use now, what does success look like for you?
Revolution. I don't know. I'm just, it's just a topic that feels so important to me. You know, it's, I feel I look around and I see so many people being harmed by it. I know I've been harmed by it. This pervasive message that there's something wrong with you.
And your issue was an eating disorder.
Yeah, yeah. Like a kind of smorgasbord of them. And it was, you know, so persistent because the messaging I felt was so overwhelming that it's hard to kind of dig yourself out when you're being kind of swallowed under by a really sticky message, yeah, I guess. It's that kind of perfectionism that I think is the most harmful.
God, and like, the problem now is, of course, social media. Like you came in at the end of it, but imagine growing up with it now.
Yeah, and that's so scary. And that's exactly the reason why I feel it's so important to have these conversations together. And even the name of my show, I know the documentary is called Boobs, but my show was called Sisters Not Twins. And actually that was taken from a quote from one of the women who applied to be part of the exhibition. And because I asked everyone to describe their boobs and she was like, well, gosh, they wouldn't be so even, you know, they're more sisters than twins, really. And I just thought that was so fantastic. That's such a beautiful way to describe something that, you know, many people could, and even myself, I remember always thinking, God, is there something wrong with me? Because mine aren't perfectly even. But actually that is normal. And again, that's what was so amazing about doing the show. Like I felt like my own sense of understanding was just exploded by doing the show, because what I could see is like, this is normal, you know, the lopsided boobs, the hairy nipples, the stretch marks.
I'm worried because, you know, teenage boys now have porn, as girls do, 24/7 on their phone. Mm-hmm. And they're, what are they seeing?
Yeah, but exactly. And even like, you know, with social media, like my paintings were getting censored and getting taken down and getting flagged. And I was getting shadow banned because it was hypersexualized imagery, which just made me so angry because, you know, I have these images flashing up on my phone, like completely unwarranted or unwanted, and they are very pornographic, I would say, or verging on at least. And for that to be deemed as acceptable, but actually women's own portrayal of their bodies is deemed unsexual or unwanted in the sexual sense. And
well, the algorithms wouldn't know one from the other, in fairness.
Well, they seem to allow that more pornographic imagery and not mine, which is kind of unpornographic. But it's interesting because, you know, this kind of rule of men's nipples being allowed on social media but women's not, and what message does that send? And that means because it's women's, it's sexual, and women are sexual objects. So that's something that, again, almost furthered the art itself. It became almost art in itself, the fact that in this day and age, 2025, we still think women's nipples are unacceptable and men's are.
you know, and even on LinkedIn.
We have to reverse hundreds and hundreds of years of socialisation. Yeah. Is that what the word? Yeah. And is your mother still alive, Nolene?
My mother was 90 in March.
Right. Yeah. And what did she say when you told her about the project?
Very funny, because Geraldine, it was at the beginning and she had said she wanted a wide range. And I just said to my mum, like I said, would you be interested in, in, you know, having a portrait of your boobs? She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting a portrait of my boobs. Pure porn. She was very funny.
Yeah. Has she seen the painting?
She's seen the painting, yeah. Yeah, she doesn't love it, but I love it. So yes, it's lovely and I'm very proud to have it.
So the exhibition then, when you went in and you saw the painting for the first time, what was that like?
I found the whole exhibition walking in, because I went in on my own, I know, with Nicola, and just I found it very emotional, actually, to see all those boobs on the wall. I was just... It was overwhelming, really, and I felt very emotional, and I had a little tear in my eye going around the whole exhibition. But it was also very rewarding. It was rewarding to see Geraldine's work up on the wall and all the work that she'd put in, and all the little portraits and the big portraits, and the myriad of sizes and shapes and people involved. And then getting to meet some of the other the other group, like, because I was in one group and Lima was in another group. Mm-hmm. So it was just lovely to, but very emotional, but also very empowering, I thought it was.
Yeah, it was really important. For me, it was really important because, like Geraldine said, you do have this notion, it's just you and you're the one that's lopsided, you're the one with one bigger than the other or whatever. And then you walk in, you go, oh, okay, we're all grand. It's, like, it's all fine. Like, it's, you know, it's. It's
so you never had those chats in at school?
No.
No?
I was in all-girls school.
What?
And no.
There was never chats about uneven breast size or anything? None of that?
No.
I think that's just a testament to the shame, honestly. And
did that come from? We're sort of, we've a lot of legacy shame, don't we, to deal with this country?
Yeah.
They're not going to go there, fair enough.
I could, but I just would never stop.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer at 43. I had a single mastectomy and 8 rounds of chemotherapy. 4 years later, I am now currently going through reconstruction, says that person. And a great interview with the ladies. Well done. They were all great, such strong characters. And because it was the BRCA1, and that's hereditary and it's in the gene pool, isn't it? So your daughters then, did they get tested?
Well, I mean, all my brothers and sisters should be tested because it can affect males as well. Some of them have, like I've given them all the information and I've left it to them. Like some of them have daughters themselves now. One of my daughters has had the genetics test done, and thank God that was negative for her. So that's a relief.
Yeah.
And the other two are considering it and... They will in
that's
their own enough, time.
That's a difficult decision to make as well, isn't it? Whether to go for the test or not.
Yeah. But knowledge is power, I think. So, now when they know that I've had it.
And you're out the other side.
I'm out the other side. And, you know, I think that can sort of prompt them to go and maybe do it. But I think they have to do it in their own time.
Yeah.
You know.
So what do you want to say to, because we live in, like, even the world that you were growing up in, it's completely different now, you know. I'm just really worried about the next generation and how they perceive themselves and how they perceive the opposite sex and how they perceive sex and all of those things. Like, if it was bad for you, it's 100 times worse now for this generation.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more positive content being made as well, and more information that I didn't have access to on the positive sense as well as the negative sense. So, like, there's definitely hope. But all I can say is it's the conversations between the people who you love the most who actually have a greater sway than a stranger on the internet. To keep those conversations in circulation, I think, holds the most power. There's also the documentary Boobs, which is going to be at Catalyst Film Festival this weekend.
It's important because it starts conversations, doesn't it? I think this conversation is going to start conversations.
I think that's it. Just don't be afraid to have the conversation.
What has come out of this for me is the conversation she had in that room. That's a hugely important part of it as well, wasn't it?
100%. And even when I was because I was in hosting the exhibition every day, it was on for 10 days in City Assembly House in Dublin in November, and
just the it was mostly women coming in. Some men enthusiastic, some less enthusiastic and awkward, but mostly women coming in and hearing the conversations, having conversations with them. Even, you know, there was a lot of seriousness to it, but there was also a lot of laughs and, you know, women almost doing like boo bingo, being like, oh God, they're a bit like mine there. Oh yeah, they're quite like you, Sheila.
Like,
you know, and that's, again, you know, there's so much lightness to it as well. Mm. It doesn't have to be so heavy, because when we take the seriousness out of it and the fear and the shame, I keep going back to shame, but it's such a huge part of it. When you take that out, it can be such a source of connection and joy and fun and feeling part of something greater, like the sisterhood. And I think, again, you know, women have been kind of taught to fear each other and to be in competition, but that, again, part of the name of the show, Sisters Not Twins, is like that we're stronger as a sisterhood, as opposed to being either like twins, you know, carbon copies of each other, or being against each other and seeing each other in competition. And and that's the way, you know, that keeps women small and weak.
Why is there shame attached to breasts? Boobs. It doesn't make sense to me at all, you know, that. And like in other countries, there isn't.
Yeah, it's interesting, I guess. Yeah, you go to some European countries on the beach, but I do think social media is playing a huge part in it. Like I was going to say earlier, like I put up a post on LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn, a professional platform, talking about the documentary and how it's going to be in Catalyst this weekend. And there was automated captions put on the film itself just by LinkedIn. And it asterisked out the word boobs. I just felt like saying, like, cop on. Like, we're grown adults here. Get a life.
It's an algorithm. It's not a human being.
But there's still someone creating the algorithm,
yeah, yes,
you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if some of them are mature adults. Anyway, Catalyst International Film Festival, and it's Limerick, and you're going to see yourselves on the big screen.
Absolutely, yes. Terrified.
Huge nipples.
Yeah. Or no nipples.
Huge no nipples. That's what you'll be known as.
That's
about.
What I'll be.
Nolan, huge no nipples.
Nolan, no nipples. But in fairness to Geraldine and Nicola, I have to hand it to them. Without them, we wouldn't be having this conversation. No. So thank you.
Well, without you, there'd be no show.
Yeah.
So
You were trying to answer what the success is. You couldn't quite do it. These are two successes here. And we have come out of our comfort zone. And I think if you get 2-3 more people even feeling that, you've got success.
Yeah. Right. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Thank you. Thanks, Nolene.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lima. Thanks, Geraldine. And good luck. Boobs, the Catalyst International Film Festival.com for more information. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.